You're listening to Ask the CIO, brought to you by CenturyLink. Now, here is your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basila, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. General Basila, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Jason. It's good to be here.
So I've had the pleasure of talking to your predecessor over the years, and so this is our first conversation. But Air Force is obviously very, very much into the IT world. You moved over to the CIO's role after serving as the Vice Commander of the Air Force Space Command. Has that been a huge change for you, or has it been kind of a natural progression?
Well, I think the Air Force thought this out. Because 3 years ago, Air Force Space Command was designated as lead major command for cyberspace in our Air Force. The Air Force has 12 core functions, and cyberspace superiority is one of them. Space superiority is another, and obviously they align with the space superiority. But the chief decided and the senior leadership decided that cyber would also become under the Space Command responsibilities. So they put me as the vice commander out there because of my background. And so I got to work with the two different commanders out there who were space officers their entire career. And we were bringing cyberspace on into this lead MAGCOM role. I worked with General Lord in his position as a CIO over here. So when I was transferred to the position as Secretary of the Air Force, Chief Information Officer, and Chief of Information Dominance, it was a logical move. And in fact, there is a natural bridge built between me and Air Force Space Command, between the office that I'm working in now and Air Force Space Command. As a result of that, we can make a lot more happen for our Air Force in the IT and the cyber world.
Now, as you mentioned, you wear two hats, the CIO and the Director of Information Dominance, which is a great title. I'm sure at parties you're very popular to dominate your information. Tell me a little bit about that other role you wear as Information Dominance.
It's a great question, Jason, because The title before I arrived here was Chief Warfighting Integration and Chief Information Officer. And I was here, in fact, on the Air Staff when Warfighting Integration title was given to the person that sat in this seat. Chief Information Dominance took me by surprise a little bit. And I have asked myself, what does that mean? And I've asked others, what does that mean? And I've challenged my staff now to define information dominance. I'm thinking that information dominance is the position that the Air Force and the Joint Warfighter has to be in during the different phases of operations. In phase zero, what does information dominance mean? What do all our different mission area owners need to have in their pocket so that they are properly postured in phase zero, phase one, et cetera? So that's kind of where my head is. Now I've got to translate that into what our staff is doing and then promulgate that across the MAGCOMs and the functionals as well.
It also comes back to the idea that for so long DoD was all about the net centricity, the idea of net warfare. But in a sense, now it's really about information warfare or information dominance. Right. Do you think that's where the evolution happened in terms of just from a title and a focus standpoint?
I do think that, and I think you hit a key point here, that if you look at some of my counterparts in the other services, they're talking about information dominance as well. So I think we're well aligned, and I think we're well aligned with the Joint Warfighter additionally. You know, I'm not going to go and say information warfare, but certainly information operations, information dominance, and the kind of information we need to be successful, as I said, regardless of the mission area that we're involved in.
Over the years, as you've kind of progressed through the service, entering the CIO's realm, I mean, how big of a change is it? Because you're not just adding to the idea of, okay, well, it's not just C4. There's other pieces to it that make up the CIO's job. Has it been a big learning curve, or is it because you had the time as Vice Commander of the Air Force Space Command, it was maybe that helped shorten it?
Things are happening right now that also further advance the value of a chief information officer. During the years that you referred to when I was growing up in the C4 world, the way we delivered capabilities in our Air Force was pretty much through a decentralized fashion. Each of the major commands was responsible for acquiring their different capabilities. We had some central acquisition, but we didn't have a lead major command, as I mentioned a moment ago, that Space Command. So we really had kind of 10 independent units thinking together along the same lines, but quite frankly, doing a little differently as far as acquiring and executing capabilities. So a chief information officer today has a great opportunity to bring all those efforts together, to leverage the different major commands and the functionals, the work they've done, to align that and bring it more closely to a centralized enterprise capability. Now, you know, that's kind of a dual-edged sword, isn't it? First of all, the functionals and the lead major commands develop capabilities over many years, and so they're not completely interested or willing. I shouldn't say that. They may be very interested, but it's difficult. Completely willing to change overnight. So there's a lot of change management involved here. But the economic environment we're in, the fact that we've validated through the contingencies over the last dozen years or so that having information flow seamlessly, a collective sharing of the same information, a common operational picture, all that is are very strong arguments to the kind of approach that we're taking in the CIO and information dominance seat here.
Give me a sense over the first 3 months on the job. What have you done to kind of help that change management? Have you been spending a lot of time kind of at other commands around the country?
Well, I haven't done a lot spending time with other commands, but I spent a lot of time with partners. I'll say the partners that we have to work with in order to be successful. Who are those partners? The partners are in the acquisition community, because those are the folks that are going to help us acquire the capabilities to do what we need. The partners are in the operational community. My next-door neighbor, the A3, Lieutenant General Bert Field, because those are the folks that are going to have to use the capabilities that we deliver. The functionals, like the A47, Lieutenant General Judy Fetter. Judy in her logistics world needs the capabilities that we have to deliver, as well as every other functional area. I've got a good partnership with the Deputy Chief Management Officer, Dave Tillotson. And Dave is responsible for the business side of our capabilities. So I'm partnering with these folks and trying to collectively share the same vision and then decide which of those partners have which part of that vision as we move forward.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about what you learned from some of those partners, because I'm sure that's going to set up your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. General Basla, before break, we were talking about kind of your change, your move to the CIO's role here at the Air Force. One of the things you said was you went around and talked to a lot of the customers. I think that's maybe a word that you hear often from CIOs, the program folks, the people who are doing logistics or the business systems. How has that shaped your priorities of what you're trying to get done or continue to get done or move the Air Force from an IT standpoint over the next 6 or 9 months?
Well, one of the first things that we learned, Jason, is that from the CIO perspective, we have to deliver an enterprise, an infrastructure, if you will, that our acquirers can depend on and then house their systems in and understand how their systems are going to operate in that infrastructure. So we've been working on a technical baseline, an implementation baseline, an objective baseline. And I got to tell you, that's not far along as I want it to be right now, but we're working on that hard. And then once that's completed and we're doing these things kind of in parallel, it will be delivered to the acquirers, to those functionals that have to operate their systems. And they will know the environment in which their capabilities will exist. And that's very important. That allows us to move away from the independent stovepipes that I kind of referred to earlier to a more centralized enterprise fashion.
So there's three of them you mentioned: technical, objective, and the third one?
The implementation baseline.
Yeah. Implementation. So when you say a baseline, that seems to insinuate this is where we're starting from and we can either move out from there or these are the standards. Is that a good way to define it?
Absolutely, the standards. And more than the standards, also the capability. I said that in the past we had our MAGCOMs, our major commands and our functionals, kind of responsible for their own environments. And so now we are trying to centralize the acquisition and the delivery of those capabilities. And it's not done through my office, because you're right. Our office is responsible for policies, standards, et cetera, the directives. It's going to be done through the chief lead integrator for cyberspace over in Air Force Space Command and the acquisition community, as I mentioned, as well as partnering with those functions. But from my seat, I think I'm at least a co-partner in leading that charge.
You said you're not as far along as you'd like to be. Where are you at? Does one come first, the technical baseline come first, and then the objective baseline, and then the implementation, is that the logical? Or do all three kind of get done together? In the development is critical that they get done kind of in parallel.
Well, the technical baseline is developing the standards, and we're about 50% as far as the standards are concerned. The implementation baseline is the environment in which a user can expect to operate. And now we're doing this in parallel because the users have demands that we have to meet now. So we can't wait till the objective baseline and the technical baselines are complete. So there's some parallel work going on here. That work includes looking at opportunities outside the Air Force. We don't have to own and operate everything. I'm talking to my very good friend, Lieutenant General Ronnie Hawkins over at DISA. DISA has capabilities that we're looking at leveraging. We're looking at industry. Industry has capabilities that we are interested in possibly leveraging. And they will inform our standards, you know, from my perspective, and they will also inform our acquisition community on the best way forward.
You took the words actually right out of my mouth a little bit, because I was thinking, what you said, we're not just looking internally, but externally. The first thing I have to bring up is the DISA email, the enterprise email that the Army is moving to, the Joint Staff has moved to, I think several commands, Transcom, I think, is moving to. Where is Air Force in that consideration?
The first cyber priority of the Air Force is what's called AFNET migration. An AFNET migration takes the multiple force that we have that has stood up over the years from the different major commands and creates a single force for the Air Force. We're well down that road. We have 167,000 users migrated thus far, and we have consolidated our network operations and security centers into two locations. And we have probably, I'd estimate, another year to 18 months to complete this project. It was always our plan to align the Air Force as a potential migration, an on-ramp to this enterprise email that DISA provides right now. In fact, I was working this two jobs ago on the Joint Staff. And so I was part of the team that came up with this idea. The Army, as you said, was the first service to go. The Army completes their migration as March, in the March timeframe. The COCOMs that you referred to are part of that as well as DISA. So now the question is, and I've had this conversation with the commander of Air Force Base Command, what is the logical time for the Air Force to move? Do we proceed and complete the AFNET migration, or do we do a technical assessment now and see that there may be an on-ramp that could happen earlier than that, or I guess the third option is we continue to proceed the way we're going and remain an AFNET under Air Force operation and control. I don't know how that's going to work out, but we're going to have a technical team assess that very quickly. And I will tell you, there's another factor to consider in this equation, and that's, you may have heard of it, the joint information environment. And it is, where is the department going with regard to a joint information environment? That, in fact, may dictate where we want to go as far as AFNET migration is concerned.
Let me ask you to step back for a sec. When you talk about AFNET migration, people think probably one big Air Force network, and that may be the simplistic view, but give me a sense of what AFNET migration actually does include.
AFNET migration, first of all, includes the standard architecture, the standard hardware. Although I'll tell you, you know, I say the standard hardware, but we have learned through experience that the acquisition rules sometimes make acquiring standard hardware very difficult when you talk about an enterprise as large as our Air Force. But that certainly is the objective, standard hardware, standard tactics, techniques, and procedures, the training of our airmen that will operate the AFNET, the security architecture that we put in place. That's part of the AFNET. All the ways of operating, the ways our single help desk, these are the kinds of things that comprise the AFNET. An easy way to find an individual in our Air Force today and follow them for the rest of their career. That's part of our AFNET migration.
You said about 167,000 airmen have migrated. What's the end result? It sounds like probably it's a big chunk of the service has already moved there. What's the end result when you say you're about another 12 or 18 months away from completing it? What still needs to get done?
There are several major commands that still have not been complete. So 167,000. We have, you know, 332,000 active duty airmen. We have another approximately 180,000 civilians. And then we've got our reserve components in the Guard and Reserve. Now, Air Force Reserve Command has already migrated, but the Air National Guard has not. And they're represented in our 50 states, and as well as Puerto Rico, et cetera. So there's still quite a ways to go on that, Jason, and that's why we're looking at if there might be another more logical step in this migration process if the enterprise email offers a good alternative.
You said there was a technical team that was going to be put together to maybe look into this. Can you give us a sense of, has that team been already put together, or is that something that's happening maybe in early fiscal 2013, or when would that happen?
I've already went out and surveyed and came up with some candidates that have been nominated as very smart technical network folks, PhD kinds of folks, both military and civilians. And so my next step is to get with the core function lead integrator, that's General Shelton, and talk to him about this team and talk to General Hawkins, and put the Air Force team together with the DISA team and have them take a deep dive into this opportunity here.
And is there any time frame that you'd like to see get a response, you know, 6 months or a year?
Oh, gosh, Jason, I would like to hear something in about 30 days. And I think you hit it on the head. Entering into the next fiscal year, you know, we want to make the best economic decisions possible and the best operational decisions possible.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about that reduced IT spending, something that every CIO is facing. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Air Force Chief Information Officer. General Basla, before break, we're talking a lot about AFNET. That's one major priority for you. You obviously have others. Give me a sense of what else you're trying to accomplish.
I really came in here with three priorities. The first priority is to develop premier cyber airmen. We're still working on that. We've made some great strides, but we've got some ways to go. And one of the reasons that we've got some ways to go is that cyberspace is a growing operational need out there. And so we're developing our airmen and our civilians. And we can talk about that more later if you like. My second priority was to enable cross-domain resilient cyberspace capabilities. What do I mean by cross-domain? Well, we've got to have cyberspace support for our air and space capabilities as well. Resilient. We've got to be able to operate through any environment that the adversary may throw in front of us. So enabling cross-domain resilient cyberspace capabilities is a priority of mine. We fight in, through, and from cyberspace. And my third priority is to enable an efficient cyberspace enterprise. And this really gets to the fact that we're going to have to pay attention to the dollars that we have available to deliver the capabilities that we have.
Let's work backwards, because I definitely want to talk about the training of cyber workforce, because I think, again, that's a common theme I hear from CIOs. But let me start with the budget, because I think that's what's on everyone's mind. The big S word, sequestration, everyone's worried about. Aside from that, both Secretary Gates and Secretary Panetta have pushed for DOD to become more efficient. Give me a sense of your role as the CIO to help the Air Force become more efficient in terms of spending, maybe IT-related, maybe just program-related.
Well, from an IT perspective, in the FY12 POM, Program Objective Memorandum, the budget for 5 years, if you will, that the Air Force put together, the IT budget was reduced by $1.2 billion. And that is over a number of program elements, in fact, 17 of them. And it does touch all of our bases and some of our major programs. Additionally, the next year, in FY13, and another $1.1 billion was taken out for software applications that we believe are redundant. Now, those were part of the reductions that had to be made in my portfolio because of the budget reductions the Air Force and the Department took overall. But unfortunately, what was not done is a very stringent scrub to validate those reductions and find out exactly where the best place to take them from. So that's part of my job right now, and the team that I'm working with is to make sure we've laid in the cuts. Those are gone. Those dollars are gone. But now we've got to make sure that where we are taking them will not break our IT capabilities. In fact, the last chief told me he's got a concern about that, and the current chief as well. So we're scrubbing that real hard. Don't take me wrong. I think there are opportunities to gain these efficiencies. I just want to make sure we're doing it in the right way. And then again, getting at this as an enterprise helps us to do business more efficiently.
someone hears a $1.2 billion cut followed by a $1.1 billion cut, they're going, what do you have left? Air Force, like many in DoD, have a fairly large IT budget. From a percentage standpoint, how big of a cut was that? And then also, how do you deal with such a large number? I mean, it seems like that it's going to have a wide-ranging effect across the entire service.
I think they will use a planning factor that in industry you can achieve about a 20% efficiency when you reduce redundancy, you eliminate redundancy. So that was kind of the mark on the wall that we began with. And I'll tell you, the $1.1 billion associated with redundant applications, that crosses the functional areas as well, because they, in their portfolios, program for logistics capabilities or space capabilities, as I said. So we got to make sure that we haven't broken their capabilities as well.
Roughly how much redundancy in software do you have? When I talk to some CIOs, they say, we think we can eliminate thousands of applications or hundreds of applications that we believe are redundant. Are you guys there yet? Do you have an inventory that you can say, when you look at each functional area, we can get so many applications, turn them off and throw them away?
Well, this is part of the deep scrub that I mentioned earlier. I don't think that we have the inventory required to allow us to do the best job possible in order to understand where those duplications exist. So we've got a plan underway the end of this year and next year. And that is to start with our business systems and call in all the portfolio managers and review them one by one and see where those duplications exist. Once we've completed that, we're going to bring in our warfighting system owners and our infrastructure system owners. And we believe by going through that regimen, which I wished had occurred beforehand, we'll be able to make sure we've got to align those reductions in the proper programs.
There are plenty of software tools out there, speaking of software redundancy, that you could go out and kind of ping the networks, and they'll come back and say, you know, you have 10 versions of Microsoft Office 2010, and you also have versions of 20, you know, ME or XP or whatever that is out there. Are you using any kind of software tool to help you kind of come up with that inventory?
Well, the examples that you use, Jason, are really the standards that I talked about earlier. We're working to get the standards down, and, you know, in an enterprise as large as ours, we migrate at different rates, so there's some challenge to that. But I'm really talking about applications that have been developed by our functionals and our major commands that are delivering the capabilities for their respective mission areas. So this isn't an enterprise, although I said we're going to look at the infrastructure too, but this is really at the business level and at the warfighting systems level.
And I know Air Force has been out in front of many other agencies. I mean, the Federal Desktop Core Configuration or whatever the latest version, the name they're calling it now, has been one of the things that you guys were able to standardize on for a Microsoft operating system. You're looking at some other ones. So I know that's probably one area you guys probably have a little better control over. Let me shift over to cyber, since that's a cyber-related topic. You mentioned about the training of the cyber workforce. Give me a sense of how that's happening, how that has evolved over the last maybe 3, 5, 7 years.
We've stood up an undergraduate cyber training program at Keesler Air Force Base, and that's a 6-month immersion program where our new second lieutenants go down there and learn about cyber. And cyber is very broad. It is the enabling capabilities to the operational capabilities, and they learn about both. The second part of that is that we have stood up a couple of courses at our Air Force Institute of Technology at our Cyber Center of Excellence. And those are for our company-grade officers and our field-grade officers, to learn about the tactical capabilities of cyber and also the strategic. We've stood up a warfighting integration course out at the Nellis Range, our Air Force Warfare Center, to mirror the air and the space and the nuclear weapons instructors courses that we have out there. And we are integrating those capabilities. The last point I would make about this, Jason, is that we are working real hard to get these courses joint certified, and we've had some success in some areas, and we're also now looking at the opportunity to bring in our coalition partners. I said earlier that we have to grow capacity, and that's because the warfighter seems to have an increasing demand for these capabilities, and we're working real hard right now to understand what that capability is.
We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, there's one question that I find that is always good to talk to generals like yourself about when it comes to over the last 10 years or so. A lot of change has happened when you talk about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and obviously the opportunity that it gave people like yourself to really expand the use of technology. Give me a sense of what the Air Force has learned when it comes to technology from fighting the two wars, and how is that kind of being translated back now that the wars are, obviously the one in Iraq is over and the one in Afghanistan is winding down?
And we have what's called joint urgent operational needs. And the warfighter sends a demand signal back here and says, hey, we're facing this kind of threat and we need help. And so we've responded to those needs. Let me give you a couple of examples. In the airlift, airdrop world, we now use precision navigation and timing capabilities to have smart pellets that we drop from airlift so we don't have to put troops in harm's way. We have a way that our troops in contact can send back a demand signal for close air support, and we have the loop closed to make sure that information gets to the pilot in the cockpit, so that, and we measure the time it takes to respond to those troops in contact. We have used simple capabilities like chat to a new extent, so that all the different players involved in the warfighting area can make sure they're aware of what's going on and taking action appropriately. In our remote piloted aircraft world, the spectrum associated with that, deconflicting the spectrum needs, making sure the command and control and data links are secure, that's been a big effort. Now, I'll tell you what we're doing, Jason. We're taking these lessons that we learned over these years at war, and we're making sure that we've captured them and we're not losing them, and they've become part of our training for growing tomorrow's airmen across airspace and cyberspace.
All right, sir, unfortunately we are out of time. I'm sure we could talk for another half hour, but you've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Air Force Chief Information Officer.